Chapter 2. It was the first time I'd seen an undead unicorn in the flesh, but it matched the descriptions others had given me in the past. The monster stood at least double my height, with a long, pointed gray horn protruding from the center of its forehead. It looked strong enough to take on an entire army, and it amazed me that it could squeeze through the trees, given how large the creature was. But what really separated an undead unicorn from a regular unicorn was the look of its body. The jaw and ribcage were exposed, and ribbons of flesh hung between the white bones, while droplets of its rancid blood splashed onto the ground. A long white mane hung over the dark eyes of the undead unicorn, and a matching tail swung in the air behind the creature. The undead unicorn strode through the trees as if it owned the entire forest, but the growl that vibrated through the werewolves' throats told a different story. Neither the wolves nor the unicorn were pleased to see each other, and I knew it wasn't going to be long before a fight broke out. The dead minotaurs were forgotten about as the werewolves stood on their hind legs and slowly closed the distance between them and the unicorn. Like with the minotaurs, the werewolves spread out so that they had the undead unicorn surrounded. The alpha stood in the middle, directly in front of their opponent, and I was able to see how the pack reacted to their new threat. The undead unicorn took the first step, dipped its head, and aimed for the left side of the pack with the gray horn cutting through the air. The werewolves jumped out of the way, but the undead unicorn was so fast that by the time the werewolves had dodged the first hit, the unicorn had thrashed its head again in an attempt to strike them. The rest of the werewolves tried to protect their brothers and aimed for the back of the unicorn, but the horse-like being kicked the wolves away with its fleshy, bony back legs. A black hoof scraped down the chest of one of the werewolves, and a loud, painful howl shattered the darkness around us. The undead unicorn was such a large, vicious creature that it appeared to be a struggle for the werewolves to defeat it. I had no doubt they were just as powerful, but I wondered if their imprisonment had weakened them slightly. I needed this pack to join my team, and it wouldn't have been the same if one of them died under the hooves of this enormous beast. An undead unicorn was not my usual prey, but the creature smelled so incredibly evil and delicious, I didn't even need to think twice about offering the wolves my assistance. I was standing far enough away that I had the advantage when it came to sneaking in the darkness. I had to catch them all off guard, and that almost excited me more than the fight itself. I loved to stalk through the shadows and to announce my arrival with the bright purple of my eyes, the smoke that billowed from my mouth, and the energy that surged through my palms. I took one last look at the werewolves and the undead unicorn, and then I silently slipped through the tree trunks that surrounded the clearing. When I neared the trees closest to the fight, I scaled a trunk until I reached the very top, and then I peered down at my victim far below. My bright irises left a violet glow on the branch beneath me, and the collection of feral scents, along with the growls from the beings below, added to my eagerness to get involved. I eyed the undead unicorn as I braced myself on the thick branch, and, as soon as the time was right, I dropped from the tree and landed firmly on the unicorn's back. Usually, if I dropped onto a creature from that height and with such speed, it would be enough to shatter the bones of my opponent and kill them. But I barely felt a bone break underneath me, which just showed how strong and mighty the unicorn was. The unicorn let out an ear-splitting roar as it smashed into the trees in an attempt to get me off its back. It stood up on its hind legs, but I dug my heels into its ribs and took a tight hold of the mane to hold my grip. Then, with my infernal tempest pulsing through one hand and the infernal blaze forming through the other, I grabbed the unicorn by the neck and allowed my hell powers to take over. The unicorn bucked and twisted its body to try and get me to let go, but it was going to take much more than that to slip out from under me. The fire in my right hand burned through the exposed neck bones of the beast, and the lightning in my left hand shocked the unicorn with zaps of energy that were strong enough to paralyze any other mortal creature. The undead creature brayed and roared as the pain radiated through its body, but despite the torture, it continued to thrash around. "Fucking hell," I growled. I tightened my hold and put all my strength into breaking the unicorn's neck and ending its life. The blaze continued to burn through the bones, and I felt them snap in my hands, but the bastard never gave up. I knew I had to go for a different tactic in order to kill this creature quickly, so I let the infernal blaze simmer down on my right hand, and once the flames had disappeared, I slipped my onyx blade out from my belt, hooked my left arm around the unicorn's neck, and then sliced the weapon through the tough tissue. Rivers of blood exploded from the veins and decorated the ground, and the undead unicorn grew weaker and weaker as the blood continued to fall. Then I smashed my hands against the unicorn's head, forced my surges of lightning into the monster's brain, and twisted the head sharply to the side. An evil grin curled over my lips, and smoke blew from my mouth as my infernal tempest fried the unicorn's brain. I was chuckling when it finally collapsed to the ground, and a deep echo boomed around the forest from the weight of the undead unicorn. The crash was joined by the excited howls from the werewolves as they celebrated with each other, and they circled around the bloody clearing. I stood from the monster, brushed the soil and blood from my pants, and grinned over at the wolves. There was no better feeling than the adrenaline that pulsed through my veins as I took down my prey and watched the life leave their eyes, and I was pleased to see the werewolves could relate.
"It's all yours,"
I chuckled, and motioned toward the undead unicorn. I could see the raw hunger in the werewolf's yellow eyes as they circled the unicorn, but then their forms began to shift. Their faces shrunk to turn back into a human's face, the fur practically dissolved into their skin, and their arms and legs returned to their original length. The yellow of their eyes disappeared, and within seconds, the 12 wolfmen from earlier had appeared again. They all wore their original garments, but the pants and shirts held more tears than before. One man had a large cut down the center of his chest from where the unicorn had sliced him with its hoof, and fresh red blood coated his shirt. The man held one hand over the wound, but the look on his face made it seem like he'd dealt with much worse in his time.
"Thank you, Atticus, for your assistance with the unicorn," the Alpha said as the pack came closer.
"Couldn't resist," I smirked.
"Yes, you fight relentlessly with your pretty talent," the Alpha observed with a twisted grin. "It's impressive."
The Alpha motioned with one hand toward the deceased body at my feet, and with a small nod of his head, the rest of the pack darted over and began to tear away at the unicorn meat with their hands and teeth.
My deep laughter filled the trees as I watched these feral men devour the carcass, even in their human forms. Droplets of blood and tissue coated their facial hair, and the rotted scent from the undead unicorn wafted around my nose and made me shake my head.
"Would you care to take some with you?" the Alpha asked. "Before they eat it all, that is."
"I'll leave your men to enjoy it," I grinned. "I'm sure they need it more than I do."
I was actually desperate for some food, but my human form was no longer used to raw meat like my demon form used to be, particularly undead meat with werewolf drool all over it.
"It's been a while since we've seen one of these in the forest," one man called over with a chunk of meat in his hand.
"Do they tend to stay out of sight?" I asked.
"Depends on what they're hunting," the man shrugged. "Undead unicorns prefer to hunt great amounts, but then they hide away for weeks until they feel the need to leave again. I imagine one of this size had been hunting an ogre," the Alpha replied. "Either that, or it was after the minotaurs we recently devoured."
Maybe that was why the unicorn was so pissed when it turned up. I knew how murderous I became if someone ate my food. "I'm assuming the undead unicorns are a delicacy for you."
"Oh, yes," the Alpha snickered. "They are so rare that I haven't had some since I was a pup."
I looked over at the carcass to see how much was left, and noticed that the men had easily devoured the majority of the unicorn already. They'd left enough for the Alpha to have his fair share, but a few men still had hungry eyes for the meat.
"Better enjoy it before they eat it all. I'll return to the house soon to speak to you again."
"Thank you again for your assistance."
The Alpha bowed with one hand on his chest.
"With both the unicorn and the enchantments."
I nodded my head, looked back over at the rest of the pack, and then turned to leave.
As I ran back through the forest in the direction of the Grimway, I heard the excited calls and laughter from the pack as they continued to enjoy their celebrations. I wondered how long their night was going to go on for, and whether they'd have some drinks to wash down the minotaurs and unicorn, but I didn't doubt they'd continue the hunt for many hours more. Without having to follow the werewolves, I could run at my full speed, and it took a lot less time to arrive back at the slums. I still had the wild excitement deep in my bones from the evening's hunt, but a sense of relief covered my body as I left the forest without having an encounter with a demon. I came across the grassy hill that led me to the Grimway, and crossed through the fire beacons with a smile on my face. It had been an impressive evening, but I was pleased to go back to the manor where my two women were waiting for me. I knew Ash and Sevelia had planned to visit Ravenshade, the village where the priest lived, to find out if anyone had become suspicious of his sudden disappearance, so I was interested to hear about how their scouting mission had gone. Loud and oddly pitched music filled the air, and in the Grimway there was only one place where it could have been coming from. The marketplace was lit up with the magical lights that were hung across every tree, and several of the residents were dancing around the open space, with a small collection of tinsel fairies drifting through the air. One tiny tinsel fairy narrowly missed crashing into the side of a stone building, and another laughed wickedly as she bobbed underneath a string of lights. Two half-orcs were slumped on the ground, both with a bottle of tonic in their hand. Their round guts protruded from their bodies, their gray heads lolled against their shoulders, and I would have thought they were asleep had it not been for the bottles of tonic that the half-orcs constantly brought up to their lips. Everyone in the marketplace appeared to be in good spirits tonight, and I doubted any of them were clear-headed enough to notice me as I walked past. I was no longer seen as such a threat in the Grimway, especially after Ash and I had encountered a demon down here, and the residents now knew that we would protect the village from such deadly threats. Before the fight with the demon, these creatures would either ignore us or look at us with some distrust, but they'd welcomed us more openly after seeing us rip a blazing demon to shreds in the middle of the street. I was so caught up in thinking about how things used to be, and taking in the drunk fairies that flew over my head, that I almost didn't notice the new creatures in the area until they were only a few steps in front of me. These two women were dressed in matching jade-green dresses that just about covered their dignity, and their white blonde hair flowed over their shoulders while their olive-toned skin shimmered in the moonlight. It was this shimmer of their skin that indicated what they were. Mermaids. The two women had their arms linked together, and they looked like mirror images of each other, with their backs straight and their breasts jostling lightly under their dresses. Both of them were staring off into the distance, and I didn't hesitate to rake my gaze all over their long, shimmering legs as they sauntered past. Then I turned and enjoyed the backside view for a moment. I'd only ever seen one mermaid in the Grimway before, but now that I had a closer look, I decided I definitely wouldn't mind seeing more of their kind around here in the future. I shook my head at the delicious sight of their tight back ends shimmying into the shadowy lanes, and then I finally continued walking toward the manor. My manor house was located inside the denser trees that surrounded the Grimway, and it was where the Dark Elves used to hold their orb mining organization before Ash and I murdered them all. We now had the house, the orbs, the money, and the workers, but there was always room to increase our properties and rule everything I could get my hands on. The building was two stories high, and the maroon manor didn't look like much from the outside, but on the inside, the Dark Elves had decked everything out in satin, velvet, gold, and a variety of paintings on every wall. Ash and I had kept a few things and made great use of their furniture and garments, but the majority of the elves' belongings had been used to help build fires and add some warmth to the building. Two lanterns were lit in the kitchen and in the living room windows when I arrived, but the rest of the house was cloaked in darkness. I spotted Ash's silver-blue hair through the window in the living room, so I walked through the main door and went to see my women. Sevelia sat in a grand blue velvet chair beside a bookcase, and Ash lounged across a couch in front of the window. Both women were dressed in fine silk dresses, but Sevelia's covered much more skin than Ash's did. The witch's red dress fell to her feet and covered her arms with long, flowing sleeves. Fortunately, the dress came with a pleated corset that enhanced her cleavage and made her breasts pillow teasingly over the material. Her purple hair had been tied up in a knot on her head, and she had a light coating of makeup over her amber eyes and across her lips. Ash's silver dress sat mid-thigh, with two cupped sleeves and a black corset. She wore her black leather knee-high boots as usual, but had gone without the fishnet stockings today.
"Good evening, my lord."
Ash smiled up at me as she noticed my arrival. "Good evening. Have you been having fun?"
"We have, and Atticus, you need to see what Sevelia's been doing,"
the beautiful demon said. I looked over at Sevelia and noticed a ceramic pot sat on the floor between her bare feet.
It's nothing,"
the witch stammered with embarrassment. "I doubt that. Ash is impressed by your evening's events, and I wish to see them too."
"Of course,"
Sevelia replied quietly. Ash shuffled across the couch to give me room to sit, but then she draped her boot-clad feet over my lap to make herself comfortable again. Sevelia adjusted the ceramic pot and pushed it slightly further away from her, and then she sat back in the chair with her hands gripped around the armrests. Sevelia closed her eyes as a peaceful look washed over her face, and she kept as still as she could be. I was about to ask Ash what I needed to look for, but then I noticed the ceramic pot tremble and rock gently from side to side. Sevelia's lips pursed together, like she was concentrating harder than before, and as her knuckles whitened from her tense grip, the pot lifted freely in the air and spun around in fast circles. "Not bad," I admired.
"I know, but then watch this. We've been having fun with it for hours."
Sevelia ignored our conversation and continued to focus on moving the pot. The circles became larger and faster, and the longer it went on, the further around the room the pot traveled. By the end of her demonstration, the pot was flying from each corner of the room, and Ash and I had to dodge as the pot whistled past our heads. "If she can do it with a pot, think about what else she can do it with."
Decapitated heads.
The ceramic pot suddenly fell through the air and smashed all over the floor. Sevelia opened her eyes, and as her body relaxed against the chair, she looked over at us with a pleasant smile.
"Maybe I should practice on items that aren't so delicate."
"When it comes to the Dark Elves' belongings, you can destroy whatever you want," I shrugged.
"Good, because I want my mind control to become as strong as possible."
"As do I." Sevelia stood from her chair and came over to the couch, where Ash and I were sitting. She perched on the armrest beside me and trailed her fingers through my black hair with light scratches against my scalp, and I smirked as her touch sent ripples of pleasure through me.
"So, how were the wolves this evening?"
the witch asked.
"Oh, yeah, how are the puppies?"
Ash added as she sat up and scooted closer to me. Both women wrapped their arms around my neck, and I almost forgot what the question had been. My gaze slipped to their delicious bodies pressed so close to mine, and I breathed in their sweet and sinful scents. "It was a very interesting evening," I replied, and slid a palm to each woman's thigh. "They took me into the forest to watch them hunt, and we encountered an undead unicorn in the process, which I killed for them."
"Fuck, really?"
Ash gasped.
"I've always wanted to see one in person."
"The asshole refused to die at first, but a slash to the throat, a few lightning bolts to the brain, and some fire into its bones put it down. The wolves will have plenty to feast on tonight."
"But how did the men act before you went hunting?"
"You mean before you dropped the spell?" I smirked.
"Yeah."
Sevelia nodded. I thought back to how the pack had acted, and I tried to remember whether there was any tension in the air. They were okay," I shrugged. "They acted the same at first, but the Alpha made sure to put them in their places. They're now incredibly grateful that the spell has been dropped, and they can live a free life again."
"I know how that feels,"
Sevelia muttered, and I stroked her thigh to comfort her a bit. The Red Witch had been kept as a hostage by the priest in his estate for 5 long years, ever since the priest had the Blessed murder her family with angel fire. The souls of her loved ones had been trapped in an amulet from then on, just so the priest had some leverage to keep Sevelia from attempting to attack him. But now the amulet sat around Sevelia's neck, and she was free at my side. "You'll never be a prisoner again," I assured the beautiful witch. "I would never allow that to happen." Sevelia smiled at me softly, and she shifted a little closer so I could slip my arm around her waist.
How was your evening? I asked them both. Did everything go as planned in Ravenshade?
Yeah, somewhat. From what we've gathered, the church is confused over the priest's disappearance, and they've had guards roaming the estate since they realized he was missing.
Did you go to the estate?
It was safe enough for Ash to go there and hide in a tree somewhere, but the guards would have been searching for Sevelia too, so I imagined that they'd notice her from a mile off.
We did, but we were perfectly safe.
Ash smiled.
I disguised Sevelia in one of my favorite dresses, and the two of us hid in the shadows far enough away so no one could see us.
It's a shame you've changed out of that dress now, I murmured to Sevelia as I ran my hand around her tight back end. It would be nice for you to have some more skin for me to see.
I had trouble keeping my hands to myself, and because the dress was a bit too small for her, the corset worked wonders.
Tempting images ran through my mind. I pictured Sevelia's long golden legs exposed, with her incredible breasts squeezed into the tight material, and how her purple hair would have fallen in curls over the front of her dress.
It was difficult to breathe in, but I found it much easier to run around and climb trees in. Maybe I could cut my own dresses a bit shorter. Would you like that, my lord?
I would, I said with a nod. See that it's done, Ash.
The elf at the dress shop could help us with that.
Ash winked. So, when you were at the estate, did you overhear the guards saying anything? Or were any of the residents talking about the priest's disappearance?
They're all just wondering where he'd go, and why he'd leave without saying anything.
Sevelia shrugged.
They have no idea he's died yet, but I wonder if it'll be long before they find that part out.
I think we should continue gauging the situation for now, just to keep on top of their theories. Ash, maybe you should go by yourself, so we don't risk them seeing Sevelia.
Oh, I'm fine with that.
The Red Witch agreed.
I got a horrible feeling being back around that estate, and I know Ash is the best when it comes to sneaking around. It's one of my favorite hobbies.
As long as the church doesn't have any leads to follow, then we should be safe to hide out before we can leave Rangfree.
Do you know how long it'll be before we can leave?
No. I shook my head. But as soon as we've got things sorted with the incubi, we'll be on that vessel out of here.
That reminds me.
Ash sat up straight on the couch.
I stopped off to see the imps as we were coming home.
How are they doing? I haven't seen them since we told them about the four that were taken.
Well, that's why I went to see them. They're really struggling with the loss of the other four, and although they're continuing to mine the orbs, I can see that their passion is no longer in it.
Those little creatures always take it hard when something happens to their group. It's like when the vampires killed one of them.
It looks worse than that.
Sevelia spoke up.
I don't know what exactly happened with the vampires, but at least the imps knew their brother had died. This time, the four have been abducted by the incubi, and there's no way of knowing whether they're alive or not.
Oh, they're alive. There's no question about that. The question is, how do we get them back? Ash smirked at my demon tone, and she leaned close to my ear as she stroked her fingers through my hair.
Oh, you've been plotting, haven't you?
Of course I have.
Tell me what you want us to do.
Ash begged lightly, and I snickered as the scent of her arousal wafted around me.